Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Kim Fitzsimmons, who is the president of Chase Commerce Solutions here in the U.S. Kim, thanks for joining me today.
No problem. Thank you, Karen.
So, Kim, it's been about 5 months since you've taken on this role as president of Chase Commerce Solutions. So what's the day in the life of the president of Chase Commerce Solutions? What do you do? What keeps you busy?
Wow. Well, first of all, there's not enough hours in the day. That's my number one complaint to Mike Priscilla, is to find me more hours and more time. because there is just a ton of opportunity here, which is one of the main reasons why I chose to join Chase Commerce Solutions. I spend most of my day, of course, the first several months, thinking about how we can organize to be not just from a human capital standpoint, but also from a process standpoint, most efficient and effective, and be able to be nimble in this ever-changing and rapidly changing industry. The other part of my day is understanding the enterprise of JP Morgan Chase and how we can better expose our line of business across the rest of the company and the firm, how we can not just get exposure, but how we can collaborate and really elevate the entire enterprise solution of JP Morgan.
Well, you guys certainly have a tremendous portfolio of assets to bring to the merchant community as it tries to respond in an efficient way itself to the changes that are taking place. A question for you on the role of mobile in changing the merchant services business and how you actually approach merchants and help them solve their problems. What are some of the fundamental changes that you've observed since mobile has become so much a part of the consumer and merchant environment?
So I think mobile obviously is all about consumer demand. It is being driven by the consumers. We all want it, myself included, fast, easy, secure, and we want it yesterday. So I think the consumers are the one that are driving the demand. The rest of us are trying to sort out how we, from a retail, from an acquirer, from an issuer standpoint, deliver upon what a intelligent, connected consumer is looking for. So from our standpoint, developing things like Chase Pay, our mobile checkout, online checkout, retail checkout products are certainly an answer to that. Partnering with entities like Apple Pay are where we think that we need to be in order to provide all things to all consumers at all times, as well as our retailers.
So I was going to ask you about the impact that Apple Pay has had on the conversations you have with the customers that you reach out to and talk to on a regular basis. And it certainly has consumed and started a lot of conversations that were perhaps difficult to start in the past. How would you characterize the impact of Apple Pay on payments and commerce?
So I think Apple Pay has come at it, certainly there were many other attempts at driving mobile commerce and mobile conversations, starting with Google Wallet, ISIS, a lot of different attempts, some not so successful. I think what Apple Pay has done, and it's a timing issue, I think that the industry is far more advanced and ready for mobile payments. Certainly, Apple has the name, they have the handsets, they have the brand awareness and the loyalty from the X, Y, and Z generations. So they are, I think, doing what is best right now as far as just passing on engaging conversations. So I think it's a learning experience for all of us, but we're certainly engaged with them on a day-to-day basis.
It certainly has, I think, put the notion of mobile payments and using the phone to pay, particularly in a store, on the map, where, as you point out, that's been a complicated and difficult conversation to have with consumers, and therefore mind share to shift behavior has made it. So, Kim, you mentioned early on when we were chatting about your interest in bringing together the assets of JP Morgan Chase to a solution called Chase Pay, and how you're taking that to market. Tell us a little bit more about that. How's that going?
Well, it's going wonderful. We are in beta test right now. We plan on launching with several of our other retailers that have already raised their hand and signed on to be early adopters of the program later this year. So we're very excited about it. And the program itself is being well received from our cardholder base and our retailers when we get to tell the story about the safe and secure aspect of Chase Pay.
I was going to ask you specifically, what kind of feedback are you getting? What attributes of Chase Pay seem to be of great interest to those who are using it?
So a couple of items I think are in the forefront of most retailers and consumers' mind. From a cardholder perspective, if you think about just your own personal area of frustration, when there are breaches and you get a new card that's issued, it's a aggravation to have to constantly enter in your new credentials and new cardholder information when you go to check out on a website. So that's one thing that Chase Pay for its Chase consumers eliminates. So ease of use for our cardholders is number one. Number two, for remembering your passwords. Most of our cardholders log into Chase.com 15 times a month. Trust your financial institution. It's a password that you remember. And Karen, I don't know about you, but I shop on the internet a lot. And no matter what I need or want, if I see a external box pops up for a checkout of a password that I may not know, I immediately abandon the shopping cart. So from our retailer perspective, they understand that not only is it secure, but they will also decrease their shopping cart abandonment because the cardholder and the consumer knows their Chase.com credentials.
I would never admit publicly to shopping a lot. Ever. But, I think the secret is out. Yes, I do that. It's interesting that you point out about the really easy reprovisioning of a card in the event of a breach. A colleague of mine, I just remembered this, is one of your early adopters and mentioned that his card was compromised and instantly got a new one without any real issue or friction on his part at all. So it's he found that to be a very impressive experience. And actually wrote me an email about it.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And of course, the retailers, when they think about accessing our some 50 million cardholders across the country, that certainly is attractive as well.
Final question for you, and it really relates to some of the recent news that we've all been observing, and that seems to be the consolidation in the space. So we saw SoftCard go to Google, Loop Pay to Samsung, Paydiant more recently to PayPal. And certainly, I'm sure there will be others in the coming weeks and months. What do you think these consolidations say about the future of mobile payments?
So I think the consolidations definitely say that mobile payments, to me, will be here sooner rather than later. Everybody is racing to be the first to have the solution, and whatever that solution might be. And it's not just card acceptance via a mobile device at the point of sale. But I think if you look at some of the acquisitions and mergers, it is about what else and what other value can we bring to the consumer. And again, I think it's all beginning with the consumer, and the merchants and the retailers are playing catch up. What is it that the connected, intelligent, knowledgeable consumer wants and needs? So that to me is all of the acquisitions, really, it's a race. It's a race to roll out mobile payments, and it's a race to add value at the point of sale through the mobile device.
I would agree. And I think, you know, it does also, I think, point to the fact that payments is a scale business, and you actually need to have scale in order to be successful for so many reasons. Well, good stuff, Kim. Thanks again for taking the time out of a very busy day to bring us up to speed on Chase Pay and your perspective on the future of payments. Thanks again.
Thank you, Karen.